here, but I'm going to ask you real quick, just close your eyes right there where you're at. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands just for a moment. Well, we already know God's moving. He's been moving since last night. We know that this is not just an ordinary time where we just come together and have a good time and be with family, but we're able to let God really do a work in our life. So I want you to just take a moment. We're not going to sing a song or anything, but I want you, as a man of God, as a gang warrior, as a leader, just to talk to the Lord for a moment and just say, God, have your way. In your own words, for the next minute, just talk to the Lord. I know we worship. I know we just heard a powerful 5 minutes of fire. But there's something more that God wants to do. There's something else inside our heart. There's something else inside of us. I want you to tap into that for the next 30 seconds. Come on, just talk to the Lord. Some of you already feel it. Say, okay, God, I'm giving that to you today. Father, I pray right now that you would have your way. Come on, gang warrior. If you don't know what else to say, just say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just a few more seconds. Just say, in the name of Jesus. Lord, do something special in my life this morning. Lord, I don't want to leave this place the same. Come on, that's it. Go ahead. You want to talk to the Lord? Go ahead, talk to him. Lift up your voice. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray right now that you will continue to have your way. Lord, we give you liberty in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Have your way inside of our lives. Lord, do something special in this group of warriors, Lord. This group of future leaders and pastors, world shakers and city takers, Lord. Lord, we give everything over to you. We surrender. Lord, we desire for your will to be done in our lives. And I pray that this morning you would anoint your message once again and your messenger, Lord, speak through my life today. Father, I pray that you would do a work on our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would find that power that's only in you. To be who you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We're careful to give you all the honor and all the glory. And all the gang warriors say, amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, give the Lord one more hand of praise this morning. You guys can go ahead and take your seats. Thank God once again for the opportunity to be here. Of course, you never forget to thank God for our salvation. And I hope that some of you that, you know, you see somebody come up and they say that a lot, or thanking God for the salvation. It's not something we just say. It's genuine, because if it wasn't for God sending his son to die on the cross for us, then we would still be lost. We would still be bound. We would be following the wrong path. We would be doing the wrong things. Well, we would be all messed up still, right? God's cleaning us up. God's changing us. God's molding us. God's shaping us. But imagine if he didn't. Imagine if we were just stuck. Imagine your worst moment. Imagine the worst place that you've ever been in. Imagine your worst fear. That's where we would end up if it wasn't for salvation. If it wasn't for Jesus shedding his blood on Calvary. And that's why we thank him every time that we get a chance up here. Thank him for our salvation. Of course, our leaders. And again, thank all the pastors that are here, all the ministers, everyone here. And I want you to turn with me to Job chapter 23. And this morning, I'm blessed because it's just the warriors. We're able to talk a little bit, so I don't know how much I'm going to preach. I'm just going to talk to you guys. Is that all right if we just be real? Tell your neighbor, be real this morning. Now, you could just hold it when you get there in Job chapter 23. And this morning, I want to, of course, we're going to talk about purity in a sense, but I believe that there's something in every young man, in every man, I could say, that there's a desire within inside of us. There's something, there's this need, there's this want. God put this in us. And ultimately, it's a need to experience power in our life. See, what I want to share on this morning is how purity actually produces power. Purity produces a power in our life that's unmatched. And it's that special something that a lot of us have tried to find in other places. Now, maybe some of us, maybe we don't feel like we're desiring power. Or we're desiring power as far as like a title or any type of I want to be better or I want to be bigger. But there's something inside of every man that desires power in our life. It could be to do something big, to do something great. Or it could even be a power that's personal. Man, I need power in my life. I desire to have power in my life so that way I could not do this no more. So I could become this. So I could preach the gospel. So I could witness to my friends. So I could help out the church. So I could build something. So I could just, there's a desire in every single one of us. Tell the person next to you, he's talking about you. There's a desire in us for power. Ask the person next to you, do you got power? Tell them, no, really, do you have power? Because in our day today, power could look many different ways. It could come in many different forms. Some of us, we have power over certain things. We try and have power over certain things. Some of us maybe try to have power over a girl, try and have power over our own life. There's some type of desire. We could go on and on and on. And if you really look at your life in one way or another, there's some type of need for power to be exemplified. There's a need for power to come out of us. There's a need for us to either obtain or to hold power in our life. It could be to become better in an area of our life, or it could become to do something in our life, something that God's called us to do. There's many things, but I love how God uses purity and the process of that to produce power in our life. Now, why do we really need it? Because then maybe there's some of us here this morning where we're not really tripping off power or wanting to be somebody or do something, or we're like, no, okay, that's cool for my leaders. That's cool for him. That's cool for my pastor. But I'm not really tripping on all that. I just want to live a good life. I just want to know there's always going to be a need for power. Why? Because there's always going to be something that's more powerful than you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter where you come from. None of that else matters. There is always going to be something or somebody that's more powerful than you. Now, as much as some of us might like not like to admit it, sometimes it was a girl that was more powerful than us. Hello. Hello. Some of you are like, no, still in denial. You're like, no, I broke up with her. There's always going to be something that's more powerful than us. So when we talk about power, again, there's always going to be a need for it. But when we take God out of that picture or God's not in it, then that's when that desire begins to be fulfilled with the wrong type of power. Where in our life, we start to do things and we try and become powerful. And you could just want the power even over your own life, just to lead your own life, just to not have to listen to a leader, to not have to say yes, to not have to say amen, to not have to do certain things that somebody else does. And we try and create power in our own life and we neglect the power of God that comes through discipleship, that comes through a leader that tells you to pray, that tells you to read your word, that tells you to do this and to not do that. There's a lot of things in our life that will come where we need power. But if we don't understand that that power comes from the purity that God gives us and that God likes to produce in our life, then you're not going to have the power needed to overcome those things in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of man you are. It doesn't matter anything. Nothing really matters when it comes to how we were raised. We all come from different backgrounds, from different cities, from different upbringings, different schools, you know, different lifestyles, whatever it might be. None of that really matters when it comes to the power of the enemy that wants to overtake your life. Now, for some of us here, maybe we already know the power of drugs, the power of alcohol, the power of gang violence, the power of peer pressure, the power of depression, the power of suicide, the power. Maybe some of us, we know a lot of things already, but we only know them as the power that they are, and we don't feel so powerful. We don't feel so strong sometimes. And when the enemy hits and he throws a blow and we feel the power of that, maybe it just rocks us and maybe it shakes us up a little bit. And maybe it causes us to fear or to doubt. My friend, I'm just saying that not to give any glory to what the enemy does, but just to prove the point that there's power that is going to come against your life. You could try and run. You could try and hide. And some might even be here thinking, well, that's why I don't want to preach. That's why I don't want to be a leader. That's why you're going to get hit with that power either way. Because the enemy don't like you. Just because somebody's up here preaching and then we could be somebody who's not, that doesn't make a difference to the enemy. He hates the fact that God could be real in your life. He hates the fact that a young man can serve God at a young age, in junior high, in high school, as a young adult, and not follow the way of the world. He hates that fact that there could be a power in a young man's life that could, they could say no to drugs and stay away from it. That they could say no to joining the neighborhood gang. They could say no to that girl. They could say no to that porn on the internet. They could say no to all the lusts of the flesh. They could say no to all these things. The devil hates the fact that God is more powerful than him. But when we as young men don't take serious the process of obtaining that power, you're not going to be strong enough. Now, I'm not saying that to wish anything wrong on nobody. It's just a fact. It's just reality. That the only way to overcome the world is through the power of God. And why we have things like pure courage, and why we have events, why we have different things, why we're going to have an altar call, is why? Because there's a process to that purification. Just like the Bible references many times that there's a process, and the Bible references as far as being tried and tested and then coming out gold. I like the example of gold when it comes to power. If you look at it from way, way back in the day when gold was first discovered and it became a very, very powerful source of trade, of value, of money, of possession, all these things, gold was very, very powerful. The more gold you had, the more powerful of a man you were. And it's in that process of gold that through the times that has been refined, and there's a certain process of purity of gold, where now all of a sudden gold that is just raw and gold that is still dirty, and gold isn't as powerful as something that's pure. And God does the same with our life. You could know God this morning. You could hear of God. You could enjoy the things of God. You could be blessed by God. But if you don't let God purify you, then there's not going to be the same power upon your life that there could be. There's another level of power that God wants to give to every young man, every man in this place. But it comes through a process of purification. It comes through a process of not just being the powerful person that God's called you to be, but letting him mold you and shape you into that, letting him refine your life, letting him take out some things. When you talk about gold, there's a refining process, meaning that it goes through a process where it takes out all the impurities. It takes out all the things that are dirty. So with us, what does God desire to do? He desires to take out all those little impurities. He desires to take out all the little things that if you just look at one bar of gold, and if you don't really know it, if you look at a bar of gold and they're two next to each other, you might think they're the same, but one might be dirty inside. It doesn't have the same power, it doesn't have the same value as the other one that's gone through a process of refining, that's gone through a process of testing to make sure that it's solid, that it's pure, that there's no more dirt and filth and junk inside of it that lessens what it was made to be. And this morning, I want to challenge every young man in this place to let God produce that power in your life through his purity, through his purifying process. That at the end of it all, that you would come out with a greater value. That you would come out more powerful, of more worth, of more value, not only to God and to the ministry, but even in your own eyes. I dare to say that there's some of you here this morning, there's some of us here today, that when we look in the mirror, we don't see much value. We don't see much worth beyond what we think, beyond what we've been told by others, beyond what our family has amounted us up to, beyond certain levels of success, of education. But my friend, when a young man allows God to refine him, allows him to take out the impurities and let him do his process on your life, you could look in the mirror and say, yeah, I might not be perfect, but God's purifying my life. He's taking out the dirt. He's taking out the filth. I don't have to feel ashamed no more. I don't have to feel like I'm dirty anymore. I don't have to feel ashamed of the things that I think in my own mind that stir in my own heart. No, I know that God is doing something in my life, and I'm called to be that powerful preacher. I'm called to be that powerful leader. I'm called to be that man of God. I'm called to do something great. My friend, I'd rather believe that God could change my life, that God could purify me, than to stay stuck looking in the mirror thinking how messed up I am. Some of us just got to dare to believe that God's called us to be a powerful man of God. What does the world call you to be? You want to be that? Or you want to let God take you through a process of purification, of producing power and value on your life? And even leaders here, myself included, it doesn't stop. There's always a process of purity that God wants to take us through. But it takes a young man, it takes somebody who's willing to be tested, who's willing to go through that process. See, nothing could ever be proven its worth or proven its value until it's been tested. If you're there with me in Job chapter 23, let's read verse 10. I love this scripture. It says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm going to read it one more time. It says, "But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." When he has tested me. Nothing can be proven until it's been tested. And in our day today, there's something wrong with our generation where they hate to be tested. There's a difference on a young man today, and it's not because of who we are or yourself. No, but the world where you're made and we're created in a way to think by the world, by social media, by movies, by all these things, that if you don't like something, don't do it. Go find something else that you enjoy. Why? Because anytime a test comes and it challenges our life, we want to run to something else that's comfortable. We want to run to something else that just makes us feel better. We want to run to something else that just pleases us for a moment. And instead of being tested, we stay dirty. Because if you remember what I'm talking about, it's a process of purification. There's certain tests that we're going to go through as young men. There's certain tests that God's going to allow to come our way. But it's not so that way we could stay the same and we could just run from it. It's so that way we could come forth as gold. Remember, we're talking about something that has extremely great value, something that has power, something that could be used for God's honor and God's glory. I don't care who it is this morning or who we think we are. God is always desiring to take us to another level. God's always desiring to put more value on our life as a preacher, as a minister, as a discipler, as a brother, as a leader, as a friend, no matter what your role may be in your church, whether it's just somebody who's going to be there right now to be an example of the life-changing power of Jesus. He's always looking to put more value on your life. But what does the Bible remind us has to come before we come out as that gold? Test. A test that has to be done in order to come forth like that. See, look at what I'm getting at this morning is you could have the greatest dreams for your life. You could want to do all kinds of great things. You could want to do whatever it is. Maybe God showed you. Maybe you just have dreamed dreams. Maybe you just have a desire to do something great for God's honor and God's glory, or just something bigger than where you're at right now. And that's great, and we need that, and we have vision for our life. But my friend, if we're not willing to be tested, then you're not going to be able to have the power to be able to do that. That's like saying that, okay, I want to buy that, but it's only this amount of gold that's going to pay for that, and then we want to stay as less. We want to stay how we are. And sometimes in our own minds and in our own hearts, we want to stay how we are. We don't want to change. We don't want to grow. We don't like what our leaders tell us. We don't really like some of the stuff that gets told to us, that's said, that's preached, whatever it is. But my friend, those are all things that are testing areas of our life, that are testing our character, that are testing how we think, that are testing how we look, that are testing how we walk, that are testing how we are. And those tests are what proves us worthy of the call of God. Those tests are what purifies our life. Why? Because when you're tested, you get rid of the wrong and you make sure what's right is there. It's just like a test in school. If you're taking something or if you're looking at an answer and there's multiple choice, what do you start doing? You start canceling out the wrong ones. So what does God do with us? He presents tests for our life so that way we could look at our life. Sometimes we get tested on our character, we get tested in where we're heading in life, we get tested in the way we think and the way our heart is and how we look at things, and then all of a sudden, we have to really look at the answers that we like to give. So you know what, this answer really isn't so good. Let me scratch that one off. When there's a test, you can only put down what's right. But how many times do we still try and give God the wrong answer? Say, no, but I like this. God's testing us. It was, no, but I enjoy this little sin in my life. God's testing and saying, no, what's the answer to this? Instead of it being God's power, no, but I like controlling what I do and what I think. And I like controlling my own actions. And I like controlling my thoughts. And I like, now, my friend, it's time that when God begins to test our life in certain areas, We don't give him whatever answer we want. We start canceling out those answers. Start scratching them off, and then you're only left with one, and that's God. That's prayer. That's his word. Discipleship. Worship. Praise. Whatever it might be, there's always an answer that you'll get the question right, that you'll detest. It'll help prove that what is right in your life is from God and God alone. If we don't learn how to take tests in our life, if we don't learn how to stand through trials and tribulations, like the Bible says, and count it all joy, my friend, that's a pretty miserable life. Because no matter what, tests are going to come your way. Right now, so we know we're all in this together, just raise your hand if you've been tested in life. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Everyone look around. Come on, look behind you. Look around you. No one's exempt from this. You can put your hands down. No one's exempt from the tests that come in the life that we live. But now what becomes of those tests and what we become out of them is what matters. Are you going to become gold? Are you going to become more valuable? Are you going to become more powerful as a young man, as a man of God, as a gang warrior? Or are you going to take the test and then stay the same? Tests are always meant to take us to another level. You can't graduate one grade without taking a test and moving you on up. You can't just take a test and just fail or just not care and not want to pass and then expect to move up in life. It's not going to happen. And what does that mean for us as young men? When we get tested, we have to change. If we don't change, that's like taking a test in school and wanting to go up to the next level so one day you could graduate to the next and to the next, but then just saying, you know what, but I don't like that test, so I'm not going to give an answer. Then you're going to stay right where you're at. Instead of going to another level where you could graduate, where you could become more, where you can be better, you're going to stay right where you're at, right where you're at if you don't like the test, if you don't want to take it. So when God presents something to our life, whether it be personal, whether it be with somebody, whether it be with our family, whether it be with a girl, whether it be with a friends at school, whether it be with drugs, whatever tests are allowed in our life, just know that God allows them in order for us to go to another level. So you could pass the test. Tests are never meant so that way we can feel like a failure. That just means that we got to learn how to change and give the right answer. That we have to change our action. A lot of time, our answer is wrong because we're used to certain responses. We're used to giving certain answers to certain tests. Where if, okay, a girl walks by, I'm going to look at her a certain way and in certain areas. And then we wonder why we're not growing, why we feel like we're stuck, why we feel like we're the same. There's certain tests that God will allow, but they're meant for us to change our response, to change the answer that we give. So that way we don't stay taking those same tests. Some of us here probably been taking the same test for too long. Probably been being tested in the same area and just struggling and just praying. And we're not called to be suffering saints. We're called to be those that are striving for something greater, that are moving up in life, that are moving up in ministry, that are discipling, that are able to give more out to those that are following us, those that are around us. My friend, if you don't feel like you have nothing to give, just focus on the test that you're in right now and pass that test. Because then when you go to the next level, you can help somebody that's taking that last one. It's a process of discipleship, but it takes us being willing to change and be tested. We have to learn how to embrace the test. Why? Because God desires to prove himself strong in our lives. But remember, nothing could be proven until it's tested. You could hear about how great our vision is. You're looking at a young man who's traveled the world through what God does in our ministry. Why? Not because I'm anybody special, but because I understood, okay, every test that comes my way, I'm gonna do all I can to let God change me. To let God change my answer, to let God change my response to my leaders, to let God mold my life and shape me in such a way where I learn the right answers, I get rid of all the wrong ones that I always like to give, and I start doing what God wants me to do wholeheartedly, and then God will take me to level after level, from glory to glory, as his word says. There's so much opportunity and there's so much need for young men full of the power of the Holy Spirit in this world, but God's looking for those that are willing to be tested. So that way he can send them and teach others how to pass the test that they're facing. Ultimately, it's not just for us. Ultimately, what we do here and why we do Pure Courage and why we take a vow or take an oath to remain pure to God. And I know a lot of times, maybe if this isn't your first one, we could think a lot of just being pure is, of course, until marriage, staying pure from girls, staying pure from doing all these things, from messing around, from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And yes, that's a huge part of it. That's probably the number one thing that causes us to fall away and that distracts and that tears us apart. But ultimately, it takes something deep within each and every single one of us to embrace the test that God brings our way. To understand that if God's going to prove himself strong in my life, if God's going to prove the fact that he saved me for a reason, if God's going to prove the fact that he saved my parents, that he brought me to this church for a reason, that I'm in the home for a reason, if that's going to be proven true, then I have to be tested. And to each one of us, there's specific tests that God has for our life. There's specific things and specific areas in our life that God is going to test. But why is he testing it? Because he wants to increase the value in your life. He wants to increase the value of who you are. Look, I don't care what anybody else says. God's called you to be somebody mighty. You could look at Gideon, who gave every excuse of why God couldn't use him, who kept pushing away from the fact that God was calling him. And he was so immature in this that he was trying to test God instead of realizing that God was just testing him and just wanted him to say yes. Gideon said that this tribe was the least. He was the least in his tribe. So what does that basically say? That he felt like he was the bottom of the bottom. That he was the lowest of the lows. And yet, later on, he becomes one of the mightiest warriors. He becomes somebody that God uses to destroy kingdoms in different areas and destroy the enemy and to restore God's people and to tear down the enemy's idols and to do all these things. Why? Because God called him to be that from the start, but he just had to believe it. Instead of us sometimes wanting to test God and, okay, God, if you're real, and okay, God, if you do this, and okay, God, if you do that. No, we just got to say, okay, God, I understand you're testing me because you're calling me to be somebody greater. You're calling me to be a mighty man of valor. You're calling me to be a warrior. You're calling me to be somebody whose life makes a difference. Somebody who can preach the gospel. Somebody who can minister your word. Somebody who could be used in a great and mighty way. That's ultimately our call, but there's going to be tests along the way until we get there. God's going to always test us in specific areas of our life. Each one of us, we struggle maybe with different things. We have certain thoughts in certain ways. And God knows. And that's why sometimes those things bug us the most. Why sometimes maybe even you feel like, man, well, how come nobody else feels like I do? Nobody else like sees it like that, or am I the only one? Sometimes we could feel like that with those battles in our own mind, those struggles within our own heart. We feel like, man, I don't want to share this because I don't know. You think a certain way and you feel like you're the only one. Now, there's others that struggle like that too, but God's just trying to test you. God's trying to bring out something inside of us so that way he could prove his power in our life. Remember, there's always going to be a need to display power in our life. No matter what life God's called you to, there is always going to be a need to display his power so we can overcome. So that way we could triumph. So that way we could have the victory. But now, why is this so important when it comes to ministry, when it comes to staying pure, when it comes to doing what God's called us to do? Because ultimately, if we're not trying to take that path, then we're going to take the path of the world. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you trying to prove? Tests will always come because there's something that needs to be proven in our life. But if you're not seeing it how I'm preaching it this morning, then that should be a red flag that goes up, because then I wonder, what are you really trying to prove in your life? Maybe you're not feeling some of what I'm saying. Maybe you're not really tripping off certain things. But what are you trying to prove? Because see, why we need that desire, or why we have that desire of power to be displayed through our life, is because as men, we're always trying to prove something. I don't care who you are. We're always trying to prove something. That's why we smart back to our brother sometimes. Because we're just trying to prove that they're not better than us. Hello. Oh, come on. Maybe just the guys in San Jose. Maybe you guys all just love each other and get along great all the time and don't think anything wrong of each other and think every brother next to you is perfect and everybody and your director is the greatest guy that's ever lived and walked the face of the earth. And maybe you guys think like that. But for most guys that I know in my city, we're always trying to prove something. We're always trying to prove who we are. Some of us, we do it through fighting, through anger, through violence, through raising our voice, because that's how we were taught to prove we're a man. You know, I could remember, it was all my life, I don't remember really crying because I was always, you know, just taught to prove that I was a man. And, you know, you didn't cry. There's something that we've all been taught. There's some way of life that we've grown up in where we're trying to prove something. So then through that process of proving something is where power is produced. So stay with me because I'm getting to something with this. If we're not trying to prove that God is real in our life, if we're not letting God test us so he can prove his power through our life, then that means that we're trying to prove something on our own and we're trying to produce our own power. That we're trying to produce the power of our own flesh. And then that's when somebody gets frustrated in church. That's when a young man gets frustrated trying to serve God, gets frustrated at school trying to be saved, gets frustrated with life because you don't feel successful at times. Why? Because we're limited to our own power. You're limited to the power that you could create. And let's just be real. Help me out again. Tell the person next to you, be real. Tell them, don't worry about me. Just be real with you. Because if that's true, then how much power could we really produce? How much power could we really have on our own? Some of us already know we are not strong enough, and that's why you messed up. That's why I know I made all kinds of wrong choices. Because I was trying to prove something on my own. I was trying to prove who I was. I was trying to prove something that I wasn't created to be. And it could be sometimes we're trying to prove it to our friends. We're trying to prove it to our family. We're trying to prove it to even people in the church. We're trying to prove it in some type of natural state instead of understanding that, okay, there's something supernatural that God can do where he can prove his power in my life, where he can prove that I am that leader, that I am that pastor, that I am that prophet, that I am that evangelist, that I am that apostle, that I am that discipler, that I am that teacher, that I am that man of God. But we need God's power in order to prove that. But I want you to really think for a moment. Right now, today, this morning, what are you trying to prove? Because if we're not trying to take that path that God has for our life, which is a path of testing, which is through a process of refining and taking out the junk and removing the impurities and removing the old and getting all the junk out of our life. If we're not trying to follow that way of testing and that way of power being proven in our life, then guess what? That means we're going to take the way of the world. And then you're going to prove the world right. I'll say it like this. Whatever power is being produced in your life, and where it's coming from is going to be what you're proving. It's going to be who is being proved right in your life. So if it's not God, then what are we really proving? Some of us that are struggling with certain things in our personal life right now that we know are those impurities in our life. You could even be saved. You could be faithful to church, but there could be impurities in our life. And what is that really proving? All that does is give glory to the enemy and proves that he still has a hold in an area of our life. All it does is prove the power of lust when we still look at that sister the same way. All it does is prove the power of the flesh when all of a sudden we still want to get high. We still want to drink. We still want to fight. We still want to respond in the same way to tests when they come their way. I would never want to be somebody that gives glory to the enemy and says, okay, I'm going to let that power be proven once again. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's why it's a process of purification. It's a process of refining. But we have to understand and we have to think that we're always going to be proving something. So what are we trying to prove? if we're not proving God right in our life, if we're not proving that Jesus died on the cross to wash away our sins, to cleanse our filthy selves and get us on the right track and prove that, then what are we really proving? You have to be real with your life this morning and think, if I'm not trying to prove that God's call is real, then what am I proving with my life? If I'm a young man here and I'm not trying to prove that God can keep me from a young age, then what am I trying to prove? That the devil could take me and mess me up for a few years and just hope that God brings me back? What are we really trying to prove? What are we shooting for? Because if it's not God, then what we're really proving is that we have no purpose. If you're not trying to prove God right in your life and show His power through your life, then you're trying to prove that we don't have no respect for others. That we just think about ourselves. That we don't have no moral standards. That we don't even respect God and really believe in Him. That we don't believe that anything better could become of our life than what people have already told us. If I could translate that into some things in our daily life, if we're proving the enemy right and we're not proving God right in our life and we're not showing His power through our life, through the tests that come our way, then we're really proving it by allowing those tests to produce a disrespect towards church, a disrespect towards leaders, a disrespect towards God and what He does, where we can come in and think that we don't really need to hear God. We don't really need to read our word. We don't really need to pray. We don't really need to open up to people and let God purify us and do something. We could even be going as far as to say that, okay, if I'm not going to prove God right, then I'm just still going to drink a little bit. I'm still going to want to get high sometimes. I'm still going to want to mess around with old girl over there. I'm still going to want to shoot that DM a little too late at night. I'm still going to want to jump on the internet. I'm still going to want to have to delete my history. I'm still going to want to have to do all these things. That's what it results in when you're not trying to prove the power of God in your life. What are we trying to prove? That the devil's stronger? That the devil's got power in our life? Every time we ignore the process of purification in our life, that's what we're proving. Every time we give in and we don't take it serious and we just think this is just another event, this is just another thing. Look, I don't know what you came here expecting, but I know what God expects of us. And that's for us to be young men that say, you know what, God? I know I might be impure at times. I know my heart is wicked and deceitful by nature, but I know that you died on the cross to purify my life, to wash me in your precious blood, to get rid of that filth. I know it might be a process. I know I might mess up sometimes. I know I still might think a certain way sometimes. But God, I'm looking to you because I want your power proven. I already know the power of the devil. I already know the power of the problems that I used to have in the past. I know the problems of my flesh, the problems that I created through lust and through all these other things. But I want your power to be proven. Just think for a moment, what would God's power in your life look like if you let Him purify your life today? What would that power result in? We don't need more young men that want to produce power of the enemy and of the world and just look cool and sound cool and live a fake life on your Instagram. We need young men that want the power of God and say, God, I want you to purify my heart. I want you to purify my life. I want you to take out all that evil. Take out all the lust. Take out the flesh. Take out the sin. Get rid of it all because I want your power in my life so I can preach with power, so I can pray with power, so I can lay hands on the sick with power and authority. That's the power that God wants to prove in our life. And it's possible through you. It's possible through you. I'm nobody special. I'm just another young man that say, God, I want your power to be proven in my life. And it comes through the process of purification. Purity produces power in our life to do what we only dream of doing. It's purity that produces it. One of the biggest examples that we have in the Bible of power that was unseen, that was never heard of before. He was almost like the first superhero, and that was Samson. A power from God that could only be from God, that he was able to do incredible feats, incredible things. Me and you have access to that same power. Why? Because we serve the same God. But see, what happened with Samson, it's in Judges chapter 14. I'm going to reference some things for the sake of time. But what happened with Samson is why he had that power is because From birth, he was born to be pure on another level. His family, the vows that were taken, his life was meant to be a life of purity. And as long as certain things were followed and he followed a certain path of life, like how God's calling us this morning, to follow a certain way of living that's different from others. Samson wasn't called to just live like all the rest. He wasn't called to just be like everyone else that looked strong but didn't do nothing great in life. You think about maybe some of your friends, maybe some people that we can even fall into the trap of looking up to and thinking, man, look at what they're doing. What good are they doing with their life, really? If it involves getting high at all, then they're just destroying their own life and everyone around them. If it's partying, it's messing around with girls, every chance they get, then they're just destroying life after life after life. We're not called to look like them. We're not called to be like them. But what happened with Samson is he was called to be pure, like we're hearing that call go forth today. And he wasn't to mess around with impure things. He was called to stay away from impurities of the world, of things that other people would get into and dip their hand into. And he was called to live a life that was separated. And that's why God anointed him with such a great power. But then little by little, Samson started giving in to the things of the world. He started giving in to his own flesh, his own desires. And yes, it came with a girl. And then the Bible says in Judges 14, I believe it's in verse 7, that it says that she pleased him well. I want to let you know, young man, that a girl will please you well. It's no secret. It's nothing to be, no, it's real. But that's why you have to let God be the one that sets that up, so that way the whole process stays pure, and then it's blessed and it's right, and then the power only increases when you get married one day. Samson started messing around with this girl that he liked. Why? Because a girl will please us. But it starts to add impurity to our life. It takes away from what we're called to be. It takes away from the purity that produces the power of God within our life. And then even it goes on to say in verses 8 and 9 how at one time Samson went into a carcass of a lion that was dead. And he grabbed some honey. Bees filled it up. He grabbed some honey. That was another thing that he wasn't called to touch any dead thing. Part of his life and the vow that he was supposed to live by, like an oath that he had, was not to touch a dead thing or to be to have his hands in any type of decay like that and death and all of that. And he did it anyways. And it says that he took that honey. And then he went home. He not only did he eat it, but he gave it to others, but he didn't tell them where he got it from. Why? Because he knew that he was touching something impure that he wasn't supposed to be messing with. How many times do we find ourselves knowing that God's called us, knowing that God saved us? If there's any church kids knowing that, man, God did something in my parents' life. I'm here for a reason. God brought me here. I've been birthed in this. And if you came in from the streets, from somewhere, then God, man, God has something great for my life. And we find ourselves on that path, knowing what we're supposed to be doing, but then we dip our hand into something that we shouldn't be touching. We start messing around with something that's impure, something that's not right. And then we come back and we don't say where we got it from. We don't say where we were. We don't say those are the beginning of the loss of power. Because then what goes on to happen? That was just one example, but Samson starts messing with things that he wasn't supposed to. And if I could say it like this, he starts living an impure life on the side. He was still able to do what he did for a time, but then there came a moment where it says that he didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord left him. And I want to let you know, and I'm not here to scare anybody, but I want to let you know that the consequences of dipping your hand in sin are real. That you can't pretend to want to be pure and then go and be impure and then pretend like you never were. It's not going to work. There will come a day in life where you won't even know, but that power has left you. And it says that Samson got up again when the Philistines came to attack him and he had no strength to overcome. Nobody just falls away with a girl just overnight. No, it's something that maybe even in your own heart, in your own mind, you're already messing with. And you don't even realize it, but power is being lost. That purity is being diluted. It's lessening. And then it comes the moment, and then the test comes, and then boom, we don't have the power to overcome. That's why it's so important to stay pure. That's why it's so important not to mess with things that we know aren't right. That's why it's so important to, if we do and we happen to be in the wrong place, the wrong time, or something happens, that you express it to your leader. Say, man, I need help. I need to stay away from this. I don't want to keep getting high. I don't want to keep messing around. I don't want to keep, because then I know that I don't have the power on my own to pass the test. But Samson later on, after they end up getting him, they even plucked out his eyes. He was humiliated. It's an ugly thing when a young man of God loses the power of God in his life. It's an ugly thing when you could be powerful and do what God's called you to do, but then you end up doing what the world tells you to do. But Samson ultimately regained that strength, and he had a moment of power once again. And I want to give hope to anybody here who maybe you feel like you're in that place. God's always looking to restore you. But what Samson had to do is he had to really repent, and he said, God, grant me that power one more time. And why God did it wasn't just because he wanted to be powerful again and wanted to prove everybody wrong again. No, because he knew he had an opportunity to overcome the power of the enemy that took him out. He had an opportunity to overcome the power that was controlling his life. So God granted him it one last time. And it says in that moment that he destroyed more of the enemy than he had in all the other times. God is calling some of us back to that place of power, back to that authority over the enemy, where it doesn't tell you what to do no more, but God is able to use your life to overcome and to destroy the things of the enemy once and for all in your life. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what you've been dipping into. It doesn't matter what's been going on in your life. If you come back to that place with God, He'll always grant you power. If I could have the keyboard make their way up. In the end of it all, Samson came back to that place of finding power through the salvation of God. That God was able to save his life once again. To save him from the power of the enemy that took him out. To save him from the power of the enemy that was messing with his life. Now, I don't know where you find yourself this morning, but if you could be real, and I could speak for myself too, we all have little things that maybe we struggle with. Maybe some are big things, some are little things. There's always a process of purification that's needed in our life. I'm no different than anybody here. I always need God to purify my life. Every morning I pray, God, wash me in your precious blood. God, purify my mind. I literally pray, God, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart, cleanse my eyes. Let them stay fixed on you. Why? Because the enemy is always looking to prove himself strong in our life. And I hope that some gang warriors here this morning, some young men of God, take it serious in the fact that if you're not trying to prove God strong in your life, you're letting the devil prove himself strong. There's a need inside us all for power. But what kind of power do you have this morning? What are you really trying to prove? Who are you really trying to prove it to? And if the answer isn't 100% God, if you don't feel completely confident that it's Him and Him alone, then my friend, this morning is for you. This morning is so that way God could begin that purification in your life once again. That you could begin to receive power from God to do what He's called you to do by taking in the moment an oath of purity. And look, I know it might be heavy on girls and relationships and all that, and that's huge, but I believe you have good leaders, you have good pastors that you need to talk to about those things, and they'll help lead you and guide you. But what I'm getting at this morning is, no matter what it is, maybe for some of us that's not the biggest issue. For some of us it could be something so different, so foreign, something that maybe nobody else knows, but ultimately it's something that the devil is trying to rob you from the real power that God desires to give you in your life. We need young men to rise up in this generation that embrace the testing of life itself. That know how to be a real man and not run from a test and go find a new girlfriend. Not run from the test and go get high again. Not run from the test and just talk bad about people again. But embrace the test and say, okay, God, this is you purifying what comes out of my mouth. This is you purifying my desires in my heart. This is you purifying my life. My friend, there's real power through the purity of God. How else could you explain a worldwide movement? How else could you explain drug addicts being delivered? How else could you explain gang members walking away from a lifestyle that's all they've known? How else could you explain the miracles, the signs and wonders that are sitting right here? How else could you explain what you've seen in the lives of people through our men's homes, through our women's homes, through your own pastors? My friend, you don't have to look far to find the power of God. You just got to believe that He wants to show it off in your life. You just got to have a little bit of faith to say, you know what, God? I know that the power of your strength, the power of your deliverance is real. And I want some of that power, not only for my own life, but so I could see it in other people. I want you to stand with me this morning. And I want all of us to understand that there's power that's waiting for you. Now, whatever that means for you, it's found in God. For some of us right now, it's power to overcome those struggles. For some of us, it's power to begin to start to pray for people, to lay hands on people. It's power to preach. It's power to witness at school. It's power to be a light in this dark world. It's power to do what God's called us to do. But right now, there's something on your heart. There's something on your mind. You say, man, I need that power in my life. My friend, then let God purify it this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray right now that the compelling of your Holy Spirit would begin to move in every heart. Lord, that we would begin to see purity in a different light, in a different form, in a different way this morning. That we would understand that you desire to show off your power, to prove yourself strong in our life. Lord, that we're worth more once we let you refine us and take out the impurities. Father, I pray for a stirring of courage right now to become pure, to let your process of purification have its way in our life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look, if you're serious about gaining some power from the Lord this morning, then these altars are open. But know that you're coming up and you're saying, God, I want you to start that purification in my life. God, I want you to purify my heart this morning. I want you to purify my mind. Look, some of us just got to be real. Don't worry about what somebody knows or doesn't know. You know what you think in your own mind. You know the desires of your own heart. You got to let God begin to purify that. You got to let God begin to take it out, take it away. So that way He can give you the power to overcome. So He can give you the power to stay focused on Him. The power to be who He's called you to be. Come on, lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know what to say, say, Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, purify my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, purify us this morning. Purify our hearts. Purify our minds. In the name of Jesus. I surrender all to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything I Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin the process of purification in our life. Lord, that whatever it may be that we've gotten into, Lord, that's not of you, Father, I pray that we would no longer go back to that. Lord, that we would no longer desire to prove the enemy strong in our life, but we would want you to be proven strong. Your power. Lord, I pray that the power that we need to answer your call will begin to fill our lives right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Well, some of us, you got to begin to believe that God's doing it. You're not doing it. It's not something you're just going to wake up and know the plan to. No, it's something that you let God do. You got to let them fill you up so that way it purges everything else out. Come on, it's through that fire that we come out as gold. It's through that fire that you're going to come out as that pastor, as that preacher, as that mighty man of valor. Come on, as that young gang warrior. That Bible study leader, that life group leader, that example in your family. Come on, we need that power from God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you're tired of the enemy proving himself strong, lift your hands right now and ask God to fill you with this power. The power to overcome, the power to fight through, the power to face every test. Come on, no more running. What do you need God's power to do in your life? It's not limited like ours. God's power is limitless. Come on, begin to see God's power being unfolded in your life, being released, being unleashed. In the name of Jesus.